home. Would you turn back to our text in Mark chapter 4?
Verse 40. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now that is what I've entitled this message. How is it that you have no faith? In Matthew's account of this, we read, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? And in Luke's account, he says, where is your faith? Now he's speaking to believers, isn't he? He's speaking to the 12. And they all had faith. But it didn't appear to be in operation at this time. Would that ever describe you? You have faith, the gift of God, but there are times where it does not appear to be in operation. You know, one of the sad things about unbelief is it has such a low estimate of Christ at its root. That's what's so evil about it. That's what's so sad about it. That's what's so wrong about it. When we practice unbelief, we are saying he is not fit to trust. That's a bad thing, isn't it? When we worry, we're saying, I don't believe he's in control. Now he says to the disciples, how is it that you have no faith? Now look back up at verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, speaking of going over the lake, let us pass over unto the other side. Now there were two shores and a lake between them. And he said, let's pass over to the other side. Question. When Christ made that statement, did they have any reason to doubt that they would get to the other side? He said, let's pass over and reach the other side. Now, to doubt that would be to doubt the veracity, the truthfulness of Christ's word. He knew they would reach the other side, didn't he? Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. In Matthew's account, it says, they followed him into the ship. And there arose, verse 37, a great storm of water. It's called a squall. It comes out of nowhere. All of a sudden, the clouds darken. And it's like a tornado hits. No one was expecting it. And the ship was filled with water. Luke said it was in jeopardy. Everybody's lives were in danger, and everybody was scared to death. And we read in verse 37, and there arose this great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. I love to think of that. You know, for one thing, the Lord was and is a man, and he needed sleep, just like you and I do. He was tired, and he went to sleep. And while he was sleeping, he wasn't worried. He'd never experienced this thing of worry. He knew his Father was in control of everything. And there he lays asleep. The skies grow dark. A storm comes down with violence. Waves fill the ship. Everybody's scared for their life. And he lays there asleep. They didn't have any idea something was going to take place when they got in the boat. Weather looked good. You know, I couldn't help but thinking a couple of weeks ago, boy, the economy was great, everything was fine. Something happened. Coronavirus. Nobody expected it. Here it is. And all of a sudden, there is jeopardy. All of a sudden, a great wind comes out of nowhere and attacks you. You didn't see it coming, and you're ambushed by a storm of sin, a storm of guilt. It took you by surprise. And now the ship is filled with water, and it seems as if it's going to sink. And you're going down, and there he sleeps. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now what a horrible thing to say to the Lord. The Lord came to save them. The Lord came to die for them. The Lord came to put their sin away. The Lord came to have mercy on them. The Lord came to take care of them. And they say something like this to the Lord. Don't you care that we're perishing? And I guarantee you, if we haven't said that, we've thought it. Don't you care that we are perishing? And there he sleeps with no furrow on his brow. You see, he's the master of the seas. Billows, his will, obey. Every gust of wind, every crash of the waves is guided by his sovereign will. Him worry. What was happening was neither more nor less than his will being done. You see, he's the Lord. There's something comforting about that. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Luke's account says, Master, Master, we perish. Are you so uncaring about us? What a thing to charge him with. Are you so uncaring about us? But I like what Matthew's account says. I believe they said all these things at different times. Lord, save us. It's my favorite prayer right there. Lord, save us. And you know, when you need saved, you're not simply calling him master, teacher. It's not as teacher he saves, it's as Lord he saves. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Peter was singing beneath the waves, what did he say? Lord, save me. Now this is the best prayer me and you could ever pray. Address who he is. He's the Lord. Save me. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Now, this is important. In Matthew's account, he rebuked them first. They come in while this storm's going on and wake him up and say, Master, we're perishing. Save us. Do something for us. And he rebuked them then. I'm in the boat. What is there to worry about? I am in the boat. Whatever's raging, going on right now, don't forget who's in control of it. And he is in the boat. I'm in the ship. I'm the one who sent the storm. What kind of low estimation we have of Christ, no matter what's going on, when we know he's in the ship, when he is in control. Now, notice it says in our text, and he arose. Now, in Matthew's account, we know that he rebuked them first, and he's going to rebuke them again afterwards, after they see the calm. But he arose. I can't help but thinking of the only comfort that I get in this raging storm is that he arose. What is my confidence of salvation? Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? That means he did what the Father sent him to do. And that's all my salvation. That's all my comfort. That's all my joy. That's all my peace. I love that scripture. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He arose, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still, be muzzled. And the scripture says the wind ceased. Now try to put yourself in their place. When you're seeing a raging storm and the boat's filled with water and the waves are crashing against the sea or against the boat and the wind, and he gets up and says, peace, be still. And all of a sudden the water is like glass and there is no wind at all, not even a bit of breeze. How eerie that must have felt to watch the wind and the sea obey his voice. You see, when he speaks, winds will cease and there will be a great calm. And after they witness this, he rebukes them again. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? This question is renewed. Why are you so fearful? I remember a few years ago, Lynn and I had gone out to eat on at a restaurant on Jefferson Street. Which there's some kind of questionable Jefferson Street. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm saying. And we left the restaurant. We had a pretty good ways to go to get to the car. And we would walk along there, and two kind of questionable characters came toward us. And Lynn said, you reckon we ought to go to the other side of the street? I said, Lynn, I'm here. And her reply was, you don't exactly impose a very intimidating figure. You know how that made me feel, you know. The point is, somebody looks at me and they're not going to think, oh boy, we better not get away from that. No, we're not talking about somebody like me being in the boat. We're not talking about somebody like my presence being there. We're talking about the eternal Son of God. We're talking about the creator of the universe. We're talking about the absolute sovereign of the seas, the one who controls everybody and everything, the one who is omnipotent, the one who is good all the time. He's never cruel. He's good all the time. Whatever he does is good. Now, why are you so fearful? The one who is gracious, the one who saves for his own sake and doesn't have to find a reason in you to do anything for you. He finds the reason in himself, and that's the way he acts. Why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? Now, let me remind you, lack of faith has as its source a low view and a low estimation of the Son of God. And any time my faith is weak and wavering, it's because I have a way too low a view of the glorious Son of God. That's so, isn't it? You know it's so. Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. Now, this is a different kind of fear. This is what is called the fear of God. The fear of reverence. The fear of awe at the glory of his person. They just witnessed this. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the crashing of the waves obey his voice? What manner of man is this? Well, may the Lord give me the grace to answer that question. The God-man. The God-man. He who is fully God, he who is fully man. The God-man. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says regarding this one who the winds and the sea obey his voice, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. What manner of man is this? The God man. Now there was a time when he wasn't man. He didn't become man until he came into the womb of the Virgin Mary. But he's always been the eternal Son of God. Now, way back before time began, before there was a creation, before there was an earth, before there were sun and moon and stars and galaxies, before there were any angels, when there was nothing but God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, worshiping one another, adoring one another. One God in three distinct persons. Now, the only reason we know this is because the Bible's made it known. No one would ever know that God is one God in three distinct persons, but he's made it known in his word. Now, this one God in three distinct persons made a covenant for his own glory. Now, he didn't create man because he was lonely. He didn't create man because he had needs. He created man for his own glory. But there was a covenant made before the creation. God the Father said, we'll create man in our own image. God the Son said, we'll create man in our own image. God the Spirit said, we'll create man in our own image. And he will fall. He will fall. The fall of Adam was according to God's purpose. He will fall. Now, if you look at it any other way, you're looking at it the wrong way. The fall of Adam was all according to God's eternal purpose. He said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He didn't say if you eat. He said, in the day you do. Now, God's in control of everything. Don't you love it that way? He is in control of everything. He said, we'll make man in our own image. He'll fall, and for my glory, the glory of the three persons of the Godhead, will save him. And he elected a vast number out of Adam's race. Not all of Adam's race, but a vast number out of Adam's race, and gave them to his son. His son took full, complete responsibility for their sins, and the Word was made flesh. You see, man sinned. Man must die. For Christ to save me, he had to become flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. In the flesh, he kept the law for me. In the flesh, he took on my sin and it became his. In the flesh, he died. In the flesh, he was raised from the dead because God was completely satisfied with what he did. I love that scripture in 1 John chapter 4 where it says, whoso confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. That's that spirit of Antichrist. You see, we confess. I'd like to confess this every time I preach. He was before he came. He's the eternal Son of God. He never began to be. He came in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. And in the flesh, he did what he came to do. He came to save his people from their sins. And that is exactly what he did. What manner of man is this? The God-man. What manner of man is this that controls the weather? The Word that was made flesh. And as God-man, he has absolute authority. Now, what does absolute mean? That means he's in control of everything. And he's the first cause of everything. And there's nothing that is not included in that statement. He has absolute authority. The winds and the sea obey him. He has absolute power to cause his will to be done. What manner of man is this? The God-man. He has the power to say to the wind, cease, to the waves, be still. Literally, be muzzled. I like that. Be muzzled. You're going to do what I say. And that's true with regard to everybody and everything. He has absolute sovereignty as the absolute Lord of creation, as the absolute Lord of providence. Now remember, providence is everything. Everything that happens is his providence. I hope none of us will say, well, that was providential, because we're denying what providence is in the first place when we make a statement like that. Everything is providential. He is in complete control of everything and everybody and every event. And he is the absolute Lord of salvation. Now, the sun refused to shine when he was on the cross. Why? He told it to. It had to obey what he said to do. The earth quaked. The rocks went. Rent. Why? He told them to. The graves of dead saints were opened up and they walked out. Why? He told them to. Somebody says, explain that to me. I'm not even going to attempt it. But I know it's in the Bible and I believe it. Whatever happens, it's because he told it to happen. Everything. And what joy, what peace I have from that. You see, this one who is the first cause behind everything is the one who can bring good out of evil. The only one who can bring good out of evil. And the one who always does bring good out of evil. He controls the winds and the rain and the sea and everything else. And he is the absolute Savior. They said, Lord, save us. We perish. That's the one good thing they said. Do you know before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior? He's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. Now that lets you know that the fall was ordained of God according to His purpose for His glory. And, you know, I love saying that because I think of people saying, well, you're saying God's the author of evil. You can say whatever you want, but I say God's God. He's sovereign. He controls everything. He said, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Somebody says, well, that's talking about calamities. Well, maybe, but it's talking about everything else too. He is Lord, and He's most especially the Lord of salvation. I love 1 Timothy 1:15, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. When He said, it is finished, every one of His people were saved from their sins. Now, I'd like to close by looking at Psalm 23. Now, at this time, their problem was too low a view of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was all their problem. And you know, that's the worst thing that anybody can be guilty of. You know, if I've said this before, I've used it a bit, but it goes without saying, I've got a real problem in my life. I've got great sin in my life. And you'd be thinking, what's he doing? Is he being unfaithful to his wife? Is he robbing banks? Is he... what's he doing? If I said unbelief, you'd think, that's not, well, I'm glad it's that. No, that's the worst thing that could be said about me. Worst thing that can be said about you. Unbelief. Lack of trust with the glorious Son of God. But here, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because my shepherd is the Lord, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know what that means? I shall not want rest. I shall not want rest. The rest of believing. What are you doing when you're resting? You're not working. You're resting. You know, somebody, I think it was Rachel's daddy that said to this, Paul Harris said this to me Sunday. I love this statement. He said, I used to hear repent and believe the gospel, and I'd think try harder and believe the gospel. And then when the Lord taught me what that means, that's quit trying and believe the gospel. I like that. That's rest. Rest. And then he says, he leads me beside the still waters, waters of quietness, waters of peace. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want peace. As long as he's on the throne, peace. As long as he was raised from the dead, peace. You see, all my salvation was accomplished, and God was satisfied with what he did and everybody he did it for. That means God is satisfied with me because my shepherd is the Lord. I'm not going to want peace. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. How many times have you needed restoration? I need restoration every day. He restoreth my soul. I'm not going to lack restoration. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because my shepherd is the Lord. I'm not going to lack righteousness. I've got that glorious breastplate of His righteousness. And I'm never going to lack righteousness because His righteousness is my righteousness. It never goes sour. It never goes smaller. It never can be anything but what it is. Perfect righteousness, the righteousness of God. Because my shepherd is the Lord, I shall not lack righteousness. For His name's sake. I shall not lack a reason for Him to bless me. I shall not lack righteousness for His name's sake. That's the only reason God gives me what He gives me, but I need no other reason. He does it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved them for His name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I'll never lack companionship. The Lord's with me. Because my shepherd is the Lord. The Lord is always with me, whether I feel it or whether I don't feel it. Doesn't make any difference. The Lord is with me. The Lord is there. And then He said, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I'm not going to lack comfort. As long as He arose, I've got every reason to feel fullness of comfort because of what He did. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not? What could prevent Him from freely giving us all things? Because my shepherd is the Lord, I'm not going to lack comfort. Verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I'm not going to lack provision. He prepares a table for me, a table of grace, a table of mercy, a table of love in the very presence of my enemies. Who are your enemies? My sins. And He prepares this table right before them, even now. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I'm not going to lack joy because the Lord is my shepherd. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm not going to lack perseverance. He's going to have goodness and mercy following me, prodding me along, not letting me go. I'm not going to lack perseverance. I'm going to continue all the way to the end. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will not lack a place to abide forever. Now look at the difference of this and, Lord, carest Thou not that we perish? These fellows were believers. This was Peter and John and James. As a matter of fact, I dare say their faith was greater than ours. But here they come across with this statement. And that's why the Lord said, how is it that you don't have faith? Where is your faith? I'm here. And that's enough. May the Lord give us that assurance. Let's pray together. Lord, how we thank You for the greatness of Your person and for what a shepherd You are. Our Father, we thank You for giving us Your Son as our shepherd. And we thank You for Your Spirit that causes us to believe Him. Lord, we confess our constant tendency toward unbelief. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. And Lord, enable us to enter into the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Matt, come lead us.